number two, please. United States of America versus Cordell Smith.
Jack. Court appointed counsel. Who was this?
This one is not.
Okay.
May it please the court. Good morning, Your Honors, Counsel. My name is Erie Johnson. I represent the petitioner appellant, Cordell Smith. Mr. Smith asked that this court reverse the trial court for two main reasons. First, the trial court should have suppressed his statement because it was a violation of his Fourth Amendment rights. And second, Cordell Smith should have been afforded a two-point downward adjustment at his sentencing hearing. Mr. Smith's statement should have been suppressed for three reasons. The FBI agents entered into his home unlawfully. Smith's person was seized under the Fourth Amendment, and the exclusionary rule applies to situations such as this. This court will be applying the de novo standard review for the Fourth Amendment issue because it involves a mixed question of fact and law.
But we do have to be deferential to the findings of adjudicative fact of the district court. Am I correct?
That is correct, Your Honor.
And my real problem with your case is, how do we get around that? I mean, the district court, pretty definitive as to what happened here. Isn't that a big stumbling block for you?
If Your Honors would look at the facts themselves, you have to apply the standard review of clearly erroneous, as the government has asserted. However, the overall violation of the Fourth Amendment is a de novo standard review.
My question to you is, given what the district court found, isn't it pretty hard for us to agree with you on the Fourth Amendment issue?
It is difficult, Your Honor. But however, the facts do, if you look at them as a whole, insinuate and give evidence that some of those facts that were found are not as clear as the court says. For instance, Agent Amon testifies that one minute that he was allowed into the home, and then he testifies that he doesn't even know who asked to come into the home. He can't tell us what was said when he was let in the home. He can't even tell us who asked to come into the home between himself, and Agent Steinbach.
Isn't that really, though, retrying what the district court already tried?
We would ask that this court would allow us to have this hearing, this trial again, without the statement, and therefore a fair trial would be given to Cordell Smith. Special Agent Steinbach and Special Agent Ahmad entered into Smith's home unlawfully because they entered without a warrant, consent, and no exigent circumstances were present.
When was the first challenge made to lack of probable cause?
According to the record, there is no significant challenge for lack of probable cause.
There isn't any.
That is correct, Your Honor.
Why isn't it waived?
Basically, in a sense, the court found there was probable cause just based on the agent's Ahmad's testimony. However, in that circumstance, the Fourth Amendment and Payton assert that the government cannot allow or cannot show that probable cause is present after the agents have entered into the person's home. The agent Ahmad testified that they had probable cause and they could have got a warrant, but he never got that warrant. He went into Cordell Smith's home.
My point is that Smith never argued in the trial court failure to establish probable cause.
Not directly, Your Honor. That would be
therefore, it's waived.
If this court would allow indirect challenge of not lack of probable cause, it would not be waived, Your Honor, in the sense that he did challenge his suppression statement should have been taken out. The statement should have been suppressed based on the fact that the agents entered into his home unvalidly. The agents' acts were in direct violation of the Supreme Court's holding in Payton versus New York and the Fourth Amendment. Payton explicitly prohibits the law enforcement officers from entering to a person's home without a warrant, without consent, or without exigent circumstances being present.
How about when they invite him in?
If that was the case here, Your Honor, we wouldn't be challenging the fact that the agents came in unlawfully. However, we still would be able to challenge the fact that Smith was seized, his person was seized without his consent. Smith did not except the fact that the agents wanted him to go to the federal building. He asked multiple times, could he stay in his home? The agents insisted that he come down to the federal building to talk with them. after everything was over, the agents took all the statements and all the information they obtained, got a valid warrant, and then went back to Smith's house the next day. The facts of the case, if you according to the records, show that the agents really didn't have probable cause in the first place. They got probable cause, then they got the warrant, and then they executed that warrant. The purpose of the Fourth Amendment is to make sure that agents like Smith, like Agent Amon and Simon, do not do what they did. The purpose is for the magistrate to look at the facts as a whole, decide whether that a warrant is valid and whether execution of that warrant should happen. Here, the agents basically pushed the Fourth Amendment to the side, went to Smith's home unlawfully, arrested Smith without saying they arrested him, took him down to the federal building, gave him Miranda warnings within a statement, treated him exactly as if he was arrested at that point, then coerced him to get a statement. Once they got that statement, they went to the magistrate, got probable cause, and then executed the warrant. The procedure was done totally backwards here, Your Honors. In this case, we should make sure that, and this court should make sure that the agents like Agent Amon, Agent Steinbach, although they're dedicated agents, be sure that they follow the law as a procedure. There's a reason why we have the Fourth Amendment. There's a reason why Peyton was held in the first place. It was to avoid people's homes, avoid violations of agents, officers coming into agents, people's homes unlawfully. I'm positive that the agents would not treat Your Honors like that. They wouldn't treat me like that. They chose Cordell Smith, who lives in Chicago. He is high school educated. However, the agents had guns on their person. They used their tone of voice and their authority to force Mr. Smith into a position that he did not want to be in, and he expressed that multiple times. Even if this court does not allow for the suppression of Cordell Smith's statement, we ask that this court, in an alternative, allow Cordell Smith a 2-point downward adjustment, taking him to a sentencing range of 70 to 87 months. Mr. Smith was a minor participant, if anything, in this crime. The record is clear that co-defendant Rollins planned the robbery. He chose to go to that bank. He's involved in multiple of robberies, and that Mr. Smith should not have been treated as equal to a co-defendant Rollins.
Well, Mr. Smith did take part in the in casing these places, didn't he?
According to the record, the three, Miss Wiley, Cordell Smith, and co-defendant Rollins, drove around. There is testimony that they stopped in front of certain banks and looked in those banks from the car. They didn't go in the bank. If they were casing, it was a poor job being done. They didn't go into the bank. They didn't see who was there. And then, if you look at Mrs. Wiley's testimony and Cordell Smith's testimony, they testify that no casing was actually happened. This case is one in which this court has a perfect opportunity to apply the minor role adjustment. You have Miss Wiley, who, if anything, is a minimal participant. We have Cordell Smith, if anything, is a minor participant. And then you have co-defendant Rollins, who is the major player in the case. He is the mastermind of the robbery. He's done many robberies before, and it's clear from the record that he planned this
robbery. Smith didn't have to go along, did he, to assist? They didn't put any revolver to his head?
No, he did not put a revolver to his head, Your Honor. However, according to the record, Smith did not even know a bank robbery was taking place until Rollins came back to the car and told Wiley that he had just robbed the bank.
There's no evidence in the record that Smith checked these banks out at an earlier date?
There's testimony to that fact, and according if you don't suppress his statement, if you don't suppress Smith's statement, there is testimony to support that there was some casing done. However,
at an earlier time,
on the day of. Yes, Your Honor, that was my understanding of the record.
Okay.
For the foregoing reasons, Your Honor, we ask that you suppress Smith's statement because it was a violation of the Fourth Amendment rights, and in the alternative, allow Cordell Smith a 2-point downward adjustment so that he can be afforded a correct sentencing. Thank you.
Thank you, counsel.
Good morning. May it please the court, counsel. My name is John Senaford, and I represent the United States in this matter. The judgment of the district court in this case should be affirmed. First of all, with respect to the alleged Fourth Amendment violation, The district court made two distinct finding of facts, each of which was independently sufficient to support denial of the motion for suppression of the statement. First of all, the district court made a finding of fact that the agents in this case were invited into the defendant's house. And under the case law, particularly U.S. versus Sade, when a person with authority invites an agent into the house, there's no illegal entry. Where there's no illegal entry, Payton is not even implicated. Secondly, the district court made a finding of fact that the agents did not seize the defendant prior to his making the statement at issue in this appeal.
Why did they give him Miranda warnings then?
The agents, I don't believe there's testimony from the agent as to the reason why he gave Miranda warnings. The district court found that the agents were acting in a prudent manner. Certainly, it's perfectly appropriate for an agent, before taking any statement from someone who may be a suspect in a case, to advise them of their rights so they don't make it in a manner that's ignorant of their rights. Moreover, the giving of the Miranda statements and any potentially arguably confrontational engagement between the agents and the defendant happened at the FBI offices after the defendant had voluntarily left his house. The defendant has no expectation of privacy in the FBI offices, so once again, Payton would not be implicated even if this court were to find that at that point a seizure took place. But the bottom line here is that the district court did find, as a matter of fact, that there was no seizure of the defendant prior to his statement. That finding is reviewed for clear error, and the government would submit that that finding is amply supported by the record. Finally, even if this court were to find that the district court committed two separate clear errors with regard to these factual issues, the governing Supreme Court case law under New York versus Harris indicates that even where a defendant is illegally arrested without a warrant in their home, any statements that are made subsequent to that arrest but outside of the home are not subject to suppression so long as the police have probable cause to arrest the defendant. In this case, there was no challenge at the district court level as to whether there was probable cause to arrest the defendant. Therefore, that argument is waived. Moreover, the government would submit that the record amply supports that there was, in fact, probable cause to arrest the defendant at the time the statement was made. Secondly, with regard to the downward departure issue, once again, the Supreme Court, the district court made a finding that the defendant was not entitled to a downward departure under the sentencing guideline section 3B1.2 as a minor participant. And I'll give a very brief rendition of the facts that are in the record with regard to this. Testimony presented in the case indicates that the defendant not only served as a getaway driver, but also took Mr. Rollins to five separate banks on the day of the robbery for which he was convicted. At each bank, he stopped the car. He assisted Mr. Rollins in assessing the security at the bank, determining whether there were security guards and how many. When they finally determined which bank would be robbed, the defendant agreed to remain behind as a backup. The testimony indicates that Rollins asked him to come into the bank after 15 minutes if Rollins didn't come out. And finally, the defendant acted as a getaway driver in this case. Now, the case law in several circuits...
In the robbery he was charged with, he was... Rollins asked him to come in after 15 minutes or leave?
He asked him to come in. The testimony, the grand jury testimony of Jacqueline Wiley, which was presented at the trial in this case as substantive evidence, was that when Rollins left the van, he asked the defendant to wait 15 minutes, and if Rollins didn't come back, he should come in and see what was going on. The district court's determination that the defendant was not entitled to a downward departure is reviewed for clear error. The case law in several circuits has made it clear that getaway drivers are not entitled to a downward departure under this guideline. Moreover, under the case law of this circuit, it's clear that when you provide transportation services plus something else, you're not entitled to a downward departure. In this case, the record shows that the defendant was involved from the beginning to the end in this case and provided very substantial assistance to Mr. Rollins in robbing this bank. Therefore, he is not entitled to a downward departure. If there are no further questions, the government would ask that the judgment and sentence imposed by the district court be affirmed.
Thank you, counsel.
Do you have anything to add, please? How much time does he have?
I've reserved 2 minutes for rebuttal. I believe I used a little bit of it previously.
1 minute. There's okay. The light for you.
Nicole Cropper specifically testified that she did not let the agents into the home. They came in on their own. New York versus Harris is distinguishable from this case because the defendant in Harris...
But the court found otherwise, didn't he?
The court did find otherwise, Your Honor. New York versus Harris is distinguishable from this case because in Harris went down to the station voluntarily. Smith did not go down to the station voluntarily. He asserted his right not to go down to the station multiple times. The agents insisted that he leave his home. The testimony as far as regarding Mr. Smith's departure is incorrect, Your Honor. Mr. Smith did not participate in this robbery. All he did was drive after the fact. He didn't provide something else. He just provided the transportation after the fact. He did not have a gun.
Isn't the getaway driver quite important? Or do you think he's just an ordinary chauffeur?
In this situation, he would be an ordinary chauffeur according to with the assailant with the gun, Your Honor. I see that I'm out of time. Can I finish answering your question?
Sure you can.
In this situation, Your Honor, we have Cordell Smith faced with an armed associate with a gun who told him to drive. So he did drive according to that, to his, I guess, his passenger's words. And so he was the chauffeur in that case, in that sense. This case, this court has also addressed this holding as far as
he aided and assisted in the crime.
If anything, that's all he did, Your Honor. But he did not participate in the actual bank robbery. I am out of time, Your Honor. I thank you for your time.
Thank you for serving this court.
Thank you.
In this matter and for accepting the appointment. Thank you both, counsel.
Thank you.